Caleb Waycaster and his family here with us today, and we love them and appreciate them, and I'm so thankful they were coming in today to go to the camp meeting, and could have been at Concord this morning and tonight, but chose to come here. We really appreciate y'all, and thank you, and we appreciate this family. Amen. And I tell you, I assume it's the youngest son. He's 100% Baptist. I always try to go to Sunday school classes on Sunday and say hello to him. And I said, "How y'all doing this morning?" He said, "Good." He said, "We ain't got no food in here." Amen. And so I thought, well, I reckon everything needs a little improvement. Amen. So I thought, you're going to make, he probably a deacon one of these days, you know. And so, appreciate them being here with us this morning in the Lord's house. If you're able to stand, you know some of y'all thought the same thing, so don't pick on him. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 1, and look with us in verse number 1. The Bible says, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." Father, I pray this morning, God, that you would help us these next few moments. I pray, God, that you would give us liberty and give us vocabulary. I ask, Lord, if there's anybody here that's unsaved, anyone that's never been to the foot of the cross, Lord, I pray that you'll do a work in their heart this morning that no man can do. Speak to them in a personal manner. May they see themselves as they really are, lost and in need of a Savior. God, I pray that they would be born again this morning and miss the flames of hell. We ask you now, Lord, to touch them and speak to them. Encourage all that are here this morning for thy glory, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want you to notice in this passage of Scripture that these opening verses of this chapter and as well as this book points us straight to Jesus Christ. Amen. And I want to say, when we look at this passage of Scripture, these verses are great because in them we don't just see Christ, even though his name is not mentioned in these verses that we have read this morning. We don't just see Christ, but we see him so clearly. What I mean by that is, if you look at verse number 2, it tells us that he is the prophet, because he said in verse number 1, "In times past unto the Father he spake by the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son." Jesus Christ is the prophet, amen, of all prophets. And then in verse number 3, he tells us that he is priest. In the middle of that verse, he said, "When he had by himself purged our sins," amen. I'm glad he's a prophet, but thank God, as John said, he's more than a prophet, amen. He was prophet, but thank God he is priest. He is our high priest and our redeemer, amen. And then he closes these verses out, this text here, by telling us that he's a king, amen, who sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I'm glad that Jesus Christ is the prophet of all prophets. He is the priest of all priests. And thank God, he is the king of all kings, amen. And when we look at this text this morning, we see several things about Christ. In verse number 2, we see his deity, as the Bible says, "in the latter part, by whom also he made the worlds." Amen. And then we see his incarnation in verse 3, as the Bible says, "who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person," talking about God. Amen. And then we see his atonement, amen, when he had by himself purged our sins. And finally, we see his ascension, as the Bible said, that he sat down at the right hand of the majesty that is on high. I want to preach a few minutes this morning on this subject, on Christ, the selected one. Amen. Christ, the selected one. I'm glad before the foundations of this world, Calvary was not an afterthought. It was not an accident in the mind of God. He didn't search all over heaven to find somebody that was worthy, for God knew nobody was worthy but his only begotten Son. Amen. Christ is the selected one. And even though Christ's name is not mentioned here, he is known as the Lord
Jesus Christ. Amen. I like that phrase, don't you? The Lord Jesus Christ. That is his name. When you think about the word Lord this morning, that is his heavenly title. And it tells us that he is the Supreme One. Amen. When you think about the name Jesus, that is his human title. And it tells us that he is the saving one. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, the angel said to him, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. And then the word Christ, that is his Hebrew title. And it tells us that he is the sufficient one. He is the anointed of God. Amen. And it's interesting that in the Bible, the only ones that ever called him just Jesus was the demons. Amen. And Jesus rebuked them. I want to say this morning, he is more than just Jesus, for he bears more than just a human title. Yes, he is the saving one, but thank God he is the supreme one. He is this morning the sufficient one. And in our text, he is, thank God, the selected one this morning. Even Jesus himself said in John 13 and verse number 13, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. Amen. That's who he is this morning. Thank God he is the great I am. I'm about to think myself happy. Amen. I'm glad we don't serve Buddha. I'm glad we don't serve Confucius. I'm glad we don't serve Muhammad. Amen. I'm glad we don't have some man-made religion. But thank God it's real. And I know it's real, for it's real. Deep down in my soul, hallelujah, this morning. And that's who he is, amen. And when we come to verse number 1, I want you to notice the maker, amen. As this book opens up, not with Paul the apostle, it doesn't open up with John the revelator, but the first word of this book is God, amen. I like that, don't you? And we notice the maker, and we notice the moments, as the Bible says, who? At sundry times, talking about, it talks about various times or different times. And then we notice not only the moment, in the maker, but we notice the method. The Bible said in divers manners. What that means is that when God did things in the Old Testament and when God did things in the days of the gospel, he didn't always do everything the same way. Amen. It's the same God, but in sundry times, in various times, and in different manners. Amen. I'm telling you, God could use a different method every time and bring the same results. Amen. He didn't resurrect every person in the same form and fashion. It wasn't the same circumstances, but it was the same God in every resurrection, and he brought it to pass. Amen. He didn't supply every need in the same form and fashion. It was in various methods, but it is the same God. I'm telling you, it might be sundry times, and it may be divers manners, but it's the same God in every dispensation and in every situation. And the God we sing about today and the God we preach about today. Thank God he was the God of yesterday. He is the God of today. And hallelujah, he'll be the God of tomorrow. Amen. For he said, I am the Lord and I change not. Amen. And then I noticed the message here, as the Bible said, that he spake. Amen. I'm glad we have a God that can speak this morning. Amen. We don't serve a dead God. He's not a God of wood. He's not a God of stone. I'm telling you, listen, he's not a God that's been made with hands. But thank God we serve a God that has an unseen hand. Thank God that carved out the valleys and he formed up the mountains. And he slung the stars into space. We have a God that reached down in the dust of this earth, and he formed man. He made him out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his body. And the Bible says his body became a living soul. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, is that book alive? It's alive as sure as you're alive. Because I'm going to tell you, the Bible talks about in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that he said that all scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. That word inspiration, it means God breathed. Amen. Just like when God breathed into Adam. Adam had a clay body, clay lungs, clay heart. He wasn't nothing but a big old lump of clay. But what brought Adam to life was the breath of God. Amen. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of books that's been written. In fact, John said, if you wrote everything about about Jesus, the world itself would not be able to contain all the books, but there's never been a book written like this book. Amen. I'm telling you, this book's got life. This book will give you life. And if you'll trust the selected one this morning who God chose, thank God you can be saved. Amen. I noticed the message here that he spake. I'm glad God still speaks today. And I noticed the men here, as the Bible said, he spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. But when we come to verse number 2, the emphasis changes from men, the prophets, the fathers, to one person, and that's the Son. Christ is the selected one this morning. And I know in a sense that I chose him, but thank God he chose me too. I'm not a Calvinist, and that doesn't make me a Calvinist this morning, because God did give us a free will and we do have to make a choice. If you're a sinner this morning, you can choose to walk down this aisle and accept Jesus Christ, or you can choose to go home and die and go to hell in your sins. Either choice is yours. God will not arrest your soul. He will not force salvation on you. God is not going to make you get saved. Amen. He's not going against your will. He gave you a will, and the choice is up to you this morning. I want to say, as we look at this text here, there's some things concerning Christ that I want you to see. I'll give them to you and I'll be done. Number one, I want you to see Christ the heir this morning. The Bible said in verse number 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now look at this, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Amen. I'm glad this morning that everything is in him, everything is by him, and everything is through him this morning. The Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son. That means that God has given him all authority this morning. And when we think about why God did that, it's because he is the beloved Son. Amen. He is the blessed Son. If you think about Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1, that blessed man, yes, that blessed man is all of us who will separate from this world and separate to the Word of God. I'm going to tell you who the real man in that text is. It's not me and it's not you, but thank God it is him. Amen. And because when you think about Jesus' life here on earth, that's exactly what he did. He lived Psalms chapter number 1. Verses 1 through 3. When Christ was here on this earth, he was the beloved Son. Isn't that right? I mean, when you think about it, he walked not in the counsel of the ungodly. He didn't stand in the way of sinners, and he didn't sit in the sea of the scornful. Amen. When Jesus lived on this earth, he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. What that means is he delighted himself in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditated day and night. Amen. That's what he told the devil in Matthew chapter 4 when he tried to tempt him. He said all scripture, amen. Or he kept taking him back to the word of God. Isn't that right? He took him, he is the living word, but he took the devil to that written word. He delighted himself in the law of the Lord. And he, listen, the Bible said that he delighted himself in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditated day and night. And you think about the life of Christ, he was like a tree planted by the rivers of water. This fruit was brought forth in his season, and whatever he did, it prospered. Amen. In fact, Isaiah 53 said, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Amen. His life was surrounded by a tree. You say, Brother Gravely, what are you saying? I'm saying when Jesus finished the salvation's plan, when he died on the cross, he went back to the glory world. He sat down at the right hand of the Father, and today he's the heir of all things. He always has been, and thank God he always will be. He is Christ the heir this morning. Amen. That's why he could say all things are yours, because we're in Christ, the hope of glory this morning. Christ the heir. Notice Christ the creator. Look at verse number 2 again. The Bible says, by whom also he made the worlds. Do you believe that this morning? I believe he made the worlds. You say, well, he didn't show up till Matthew chapter number 1. Oh no. He was here before Genesis 1. John chapter number 1 said in the beginning, there's three beginnings in this book, amen. Genesis 1, John chapter 1, and 1 John chapter 1. And John chapter 1 said in the beginning was the Word. That's what the Bible says. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, I believe that, don't you? He said all things were made by Him. That's what that verse says. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and thank God the darkness comprehended it not. I'm glad there's not enough darkness, thank God, to put out the light. Amen. And Jesus said, I am the light of this world. And when Christ, my friend, came, He didn't just come as a lowly babe in a manger, but He was the creator of the world that He came to. That means He is coexistent. That means He is equal, and He is co-eternal with the one that we read about in verse number 1. There's no difference between the man or between the God in verse 1 and the God in verse 2. Amen. You see, it's not God the Father and a lower level God the Son and a lower level God the Spirit. Oh no, it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And we know that because verse 2 says, or verse 3 says, who being the brightness of His glory. And notice this, the express image of His person. Now I'm telling you, there's some people in life, when they walk through the door, you know who their father is immediately. They couldn't deny Him if they wanted to. They look so much alike. Isn't that true? I mean, some of you, listen, your sons run around here and we can look at them, we can tell that's your son. Amen. You know why? They bear the express image of the Father. Amen. Who you are is personified in who they are. And when you think about, the Bible says God is a spirit. Amen. And when Jesus came here, Colossians said, in Him whom the fullness of all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. Amen. I'm telling you, when Christ stepped on the scene in the flesh, when Christ stepped on the scene, He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Amen. You know why? Because He was the Father and He is the Father. And my friend, in the flesh He came. He is Christ the heir. He is Christ the creator this morning. And then I want you to notice He's Christ the revealer. Amen. Look at verse number two again. The Bible says, here hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. He revealed, thank God. He's the revealer of the sin of man. Jesus came and He preached on the sin. He revealed man's sin. He is the revealer of the salvation of man. Christ came into this world, John 5 and verse 24. Christ said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that heareth My words and believeth on Him that sent Me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He said in chapter 15 of John in verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus preached the way of salvation. He said in John 14 and verse 5, when Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. He is Christ the revealer. Amen. God spoke in the Old Testament by the prophets. He raised up John the Baptist. But I tell you, the prophet of all prophets, the one that revealed, the one that tied everything in the Old Testament, tied it unto Himself, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm thankful that I know Him this morning. He revealed the security of man. In John 10 and verse 27, Jesus said, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them. You know, there have been times in people's life when, I'm talking about saved people, when they wondered if they knew God. There's never been a time God wondered if He knew you. You might doubt your salvation, but I promise you, Jesus has never doubted it one day. You need to quit doubting your salvation, because He don't. Amen. You need to rest in Christ this morning. Rest in His security. You say, well, I don't, you know, preacher, some days I've been up and I've been down. If you've been born again, you rest in the fact that you've been saved. You can't recap. You can't repeat. You can only get saved one time. Amen. I'm telling you, if you'll get in that book will anchor in your soul. It'll give you the assurance. You say, well, I just don't know the time. I can't give you the time and the day. Hey, Paul said this. He didn't say, I know when I believed or where I I believe. But he said, I know whom I have believed him, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed. I'm not keeping the record. Thank God I know whom I believed in. Hallelujah. I'm not keeping the record, but I know the record keeper this morning. Amen. I know who I'm trusting in this morning as my salvation. I'm saying this morning, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and a stranger they will not follow. And he said, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He said, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Then he said, I and my Father are one this morning. You believe that? I believe Jesus is God and God is Jesus. And like Brother Oliver B. Green said years ago, you cannot dissect the Trinity, for they are one. You say, I just don't know if that's possible. Well, we're created in the image of God, aren't we? Man is a body, he is a soul, he is a spirit. Man is not a body, a soul, and a spirit. Oh no. You're looking at me this morning, I'm looking at you, and you're looking at a body that has a soul and has a spirit. And my soul is as much as my spirit, and my spirit's as much as my soul, and both of them are as much as my body. You say, explain that. I can't. I just believe it because it's in the Bible, and I know it's true. If I was to get terrible news right now, tragic news, you know what would happen? My spirit would be grieved. My soul would be grieved. My spirit would begin to think, would begin to process, would begin to wonder. Okay, this is what we got to do. We got to leave. We got to go somewhere. We got to take care. We got to do such and such. My mind would begin to work, wouldn't it? And process what I need to do. While my soul, the seat of my emotions is grieving. But my body would put it all into action. And when you think about salvation, God the Father planned it. God the Son performed it, and hallelujah, God the Holy Ghost presents it. I'm telling you this morning, we're created. The Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I want to bless his name this morning. Who am I, the songwriter said, that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I, God, should have let us all dropped off in the bowels of hell and burned up for the rest of eternity? I want to say, bless his holy name. The word of God came to our door one day, our heart's door, and we heard the gospel. Hallelujah. I say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. I bless his holy name. Hallelujah. Good to be saved, isn't it? It's good for your blood pressure to shout every now and then. You know that. Don't shout at your spouse. Come shout in church. Amen. Christ the revealer, and then Christ the sustainer. Look what the Bible said in verse 3. And upholding all things by the word of his power. I like that, don't you? Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse 35, he said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The Bible said in the book of Psalms chapter 12 and verse number 6, the Bible said the words of the Lord are pure, words of silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them. You see, liberals, they believe an inspired word. They don't believe in a preserved word. Amen? And if God is big enough to inspire it, you can bet your bottom dollar he's big enough to preserve it. Amen? Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them is what the Bible says. The Bible says forever, O Lord, Psalms 119 and verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The Bible said in the book of Psalms, he's magnified his word above his name. Hey, a man's only as good as his word. Amen. You know why I know I'm going to heaven when this life is over with? Because I believe and I've trusted the word of God. I believe what that book says. And God's word will stand when this world's on fire. He's never broke a promise. He's never backed up on his word. There's no doubt. There's no deception. Thank God you can build your life on it. You can build your family on it. You can build eternity on it. He is Christ, the revealer and the sustainer this morning. Amen. His person says it's true. The Bible said, who is the brightness of his glory, the express image of his Son. Amen. And he upholdeth all things by the word of his power. His promises, his power says it's true. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Talking about Christ the heir, Christ the revealer, Christ the sustainer this morning, Christ the creator. But what about, look at this, Christ the redeemer. When he had by himself purged our sins. Colossians 1 and verse 14 said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. 1 John 1 and verse 9 said, and this, the Bible says that if we confess our sins, now that's the only thing you can do in 1 John 1, 9. You can't forgive your sins and you can't cleanse your sins. But you can confess them. You know why men go to hell? They're not willing to come and bow their head and bend their knee and confess to God they're a sinner. I'm telling you, you can come to church till the cows come home, but if you don't come to the altar and get right with God, you'll surely, and ask God to save you, you'll go to hell is what'll happen to you. Church membership won't get you membership into heaven. Amen. I don't care how many churches you're a member of this morning. I'm telling you, listen, the Bible tells us that he is Christ the Redeemer. Man must be born again. He needs to be redeemed. Amen. And the Bible said that if we confess our sins, God's going to do the rest. He'll be faithful. He'll be just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, this morning I know I'm saved because what the Word of God says. I know I'm saved because he is a faithful God, that I've done everything I could do. The only thing I could do, I couldn't forgive myself, I couldn't cleanse myself, but I went to the one who could, and the Bible says if you'll confess, he will be faithful. Hallelujah. He's the sustainer, he's the redeemer. I like that old song. I wrote it down this morning. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. Ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement. Hallelujah. Can it be? Hallelujah. What a Savior. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. I say hallelujah. What a Savior. When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransom home to bring, then anew his song will sing. Hallelujah. What a Savior. I want to say, what a Savior. What a God. What a Lord. What a Redeemer. What a Master this morning. What a wonderful God. His name is Jesus. Amen. He is the salvation. He is the hope. He is our hope this morning. He is God eternal. Amen. He is Christ, my friend, the Redeemer. Then Christ, the Ruler. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says that he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I want to say in closing this morning, Christ the ruler proves in this little phrase that he sat down on the right hand of the majesty that's on high. It proves that he completed the work, that he conquered the enemy, and that he controls our future this morning. You know, I thank God that the Democrats lost. Don't you thank God for that? The only people that ticks off is Democrats. I'm glad they lost, and I'm glad she ain't gonna be our president. Amen. Ain't a woman's place anyway. That's like a man working in a daycare. It's just weird. Isn't that right? Probably get in trouble for this, but a man working at, I'd wonder if a man was a sodomite if he worked in a daycare. I'd rather dig a ditch just change diapers, amen. Come on, say amen right there. But you know, I say that to say this. I know Donald Trump's not the Messiah. And I know no matter who that man is, I believe this with all of my heart. I believe what God did, and God did it. I believe God looked down on this country. And he heard the cries of his children. And God gave us a little reproof, a space of grace. I'm telling you, the Bible said his eyes are over the righteous. As wicked as America is today, he still sees us. And he heard us. His ears are open to our prayers.
And my eyes this morning are no more on Washington today than they was a few days ago. My eyes are on heaven this morning. Because there's only one going to bring peace to this earth. There's only one that's going to cause them to take their weapons and turn them into plowshares. That's the one of Revelation 19 that John saw. When he said, "Behold, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he to judge and make war." He said his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but himself. His clothed a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Hallelujah. Don't you love this book? This is his word this morning. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in light, white linen, fine and clean. He's coming, ain't he? Out of his mouth will go a sharp sword that with it he'll smite the nations. The Bible said he'll rule this earth with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's him this morning. I'm going to tell you, if I was lost, I'd get saved. I'll say this in closing. I was at a motel this week. And we was fixing to leave, and I was sitting there, and the news was on. I've never watched the news in my life and been encouraged, except I did Friday. I couldn't even believe it. Now, it wasn't CNN, I promise you that much. But I was sitting there, and they were lighting a Christmas tree, or fixing to light a Christmas tree. And Fox News maybe they do it every year. I don't know. I don't watch Fox News that much. But they were getting ready, and they had, of course, you know, they're ecumenical. I understand all that. But look past all the mess for just a moment. And they said, "What is Christmas really about?" They had all their staff there, and they said, they was going one by one, said, "What is Christmas about? What does it mean to you?" And I thought, well, here we go. It's probably going to be a lot of, you know, lights and candy canes and presents. And they interviewed this one lady. She said, "Christmas to me and my family is reading the gospel of Jesus Christ." She said, "That's what Christmas means." There was a few amen sprinkled in that little crowd. He said, "Well, there's probably cat." I don't care what they were. I don't care what they were. The gospel of Jesus Christ just went across the airwaves. And then they had someone come in there that they had them pray a prayer. They had two or three people pray a prayer, but they had this one gentleman pray a prayer. And he prayed the gospel. He prayed the death. He said, "Lord, we thank you for your birth." He said, "But we want to thank you that you went to the cross and died for man's sin." I'm telling you, Brother Laddie, I thought, hallelujah. I'm about to shout in the lobby of that little man. And he said, "We want to thank you went to the cross and died for our sins, and that you rose from the dead, and that you're at the right hand of the Father." I looked at my wife. I said, "The gospel just went all across America on the airwaves." And we sat there for probably another 20 minutes and watched the news. And, you know, there was been some other things, you know, that, you know, they were singing about Santa Claus and all that mess, you know. Hey, Santa's not real for all you children. I'll have 10 mothers get mad at me for saying that. They won't want them to get mad at me about preaching on hell, but they'll get mad at me about he's not real. Tell you, if a fat man in a red suit come down my chimney in the middle of the night, I'd be pulling a double barrel on him, wouldn't you? That's right. I'll tell you another thing. I told our girls coming up, I said, there is no way on earth I'm spending my hard-earned Monday, me and you, your mama's hard-earned Monday, and then giving you presents and telling you some stranger from the North Pole came down here and gave it to you. I want all the credit. Amen. Anyway, it's in there. but they kept interviewing people, and I was amazed at how many times the Lord Jesus Christ was mentioned. You know, this country, it's in big trouble. I get that. But I'm going to tell you what God showed us. in November that if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then this country isn't so far gone that it can't come back to God. I know we're in the last days, but I tell you what, I don't want to take away y'all's hope. And that's what it does, isn't it? Every time you hear somebody get up and say, well, America's forever gone. Them days of revival, what does it do for you? It does. I want you to, lift up your head. Oh, the king's coming. But they still hope for this country. They still hope for, God turned the tide of all that woke crowd and all that wickedness. All that junk about bathrooms and reading to our children in kindergarten classes, all their perversion. God, you know what he did? He killed that mess in one night. And he proved to this world it ain't Donald Trump. He's a God sitting in heaven. And the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. There's hope. There is a lot of hope still left in this country. And you're that hope. Let's stand. Christ, he is our hope this morning.